Oh man. Oh man. Yeah,
that's,
oh man.
That's my feeling.
What is this? Is this Drake?
Not again.
Yes, it is Drake.
And I'm, well, don't look at me feel like I'm some kind of a freak on a leash.
Check me. All right, it's Drake.
I am, oh my God.
I just heard the N-word again.
I'm Margaret Gray.
I'm General Kalen Shaw.
I'm Robert Lennon.
You're not offended by the, I'm Robert Lennon. Go, you next.
Yeah, and I'm Bud Dickman.
And this is the Phil Hendry Show. If you guys are going to be offended by what we're playing here, maybe you shouldn't be on the show.
I just don't understand. This kid Drake is made of money, and why he's got to go through life going N-word and F-U and N-it and up your N and...
Well, he's not saying up your N. What is that supposed to mean?
I mean, what? Don't... You're asking me? Ask him.
It's the way the guy sings. It's the lyrical content of his rhymes. It's what it is, General.
Oh, yeah, you're all with it, huh, Henry? You're gonna...
So, welcome to our program.
You know, General, just give it a rest, man. If you don't want to intro the song, have somebody else do it.
Give it a rest, General. If you don't want to intro the song, have somebody else do it.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah! All right, you let me know if we're gonna have that hop-hip, or whatever you want to call it.
Called hip-hop, you know that.
What are you raising your voice with me for?
I'm sorry, it's called hip-hop. Hip-hop.
Hip-hop. Hildhop?
Hip-hop.
I don't want to be introing any of the shows when you play that garbage.
Well, General,
And what about you? Do you stand in solidarity?
Unfortunately, no, I don't, because I like all the microphone time I can get, because,
Well, I well know that. Margaret, don't put the copy in front of me. See what happens?
Sorry, because... You know that what?
Well, I figure you,
Don't use the W word.
What, wonderful?
So, Margaret, you'll do the intros when the General doesn't want to do them, if it happens to be a happity-hip or a hoppity-hip song, right?
Yeah, you got it.
That's fine with me. I don't care.
So, this is the Phil Hendry Show here on a Wednesday. Glad to have you with us. Would like to alert all of you, if you are a Backstage Pass member, or even if you're not a Backstage Pass member, I think you can probably do this over on our Facebook fan page. We're at facebook.com/ Phil Hendry Fans, PHANS. We're looking for the top 10 bits from the year 2016. If you can lay that on us, then we will be able to comprise... Actually, what we want is the top 3 bits from the year 2016. Lay that on us, and we will be able to comprise our top 10 bits from the year 2016 and feature them on our archive page on our website. We have a whole section there reserved for that. Now, one of the easiest things that we could do, and I think I will alert this way my staff, here's what you do. You put a post on the Facebook fan page and you say, what are your 3 favorite bits from the year 2016? And maybe we can do it that way. Maybe we'll be able to canvas the audience, the potential audience or the Backstage Pass people that way.
Well, you're sounding irritated. Was that something that...
Now, what's that about?
No, it's just we've been going back and forth with it and I want to get it done. The top 10 bits of 2016.
What are you going back and forth with?
Never mind. The top 10 bits of 2016... if you don't mind, just give us your three favorite. So we had a lot of fireworks yesterday. We've got some guests to address some of this stuff.
Well, some of the so-called fireworks. Now we've got this guy Spicer on with a As You Want to Hear It or something like that.
Yeah, call As You Like to Hear Them.
You're not familiar with that.
I'm not sure the format of that.
You cannot lie. If you're being interviewed by us on As You Like to Hear Them, you cannot lie.
All right, so this guy's going to tell the truth.
Yes.
All right.
So Sean Spicer will be with us on As You Like to Hear Them. Art Griego on that episode of dragging that guy out of the airplane.
Man, I saw that happen. That's the most jacked up thing that I ever did see.
Well, what did the man do? Obviously, he did something wrong.
No, he didn't do anything wrong.
Guy didn't do anything wrong. He was sitting there minding his own business. When along come these slobs, I'll tell you what, if it had been me, there would have been multiple homicides.
All right, okay. The United Airlines...
Well, I understand that. They dragged this man... But why did they do this?
Because the man would not relinquish his seat. They were overbooked.
Now, that's the thing. What is it with these airlines that they're so thick in the brain that they don't know they're overbooked, and looks like we're overbooked? You know what I mean?
Well, Phil, I don't think you understand the airline business. It's very hectic.
What is hectic about? How does it get so hectic? You don't know how many people is on your plane.
Is on your plane?
Are on your plane.
Yeah, why is that?
Oh, I see. So you're ganging up on the woman.
No, I'm not ganging up on the woman. Just want to know. Because I agree.
I'm saying being a woman and therefore being the primary gender that is the flight attendant. Okay. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes?
Forget it. I don't...
Oh, yeah, right, Margaret.
No, not all right, Margaret.
Then why is it, you know, what's the story with the overbooking? Why can't an airline, with all of their computers, all of their money, all of their people, and all of their experience, how do they get overbooked to the point, oh, you know what, folks, we're overbooked. Well, I guess what we'll have to do is ask some of you to get off. How does that happen?
Well, I don't know. It is a very difficult, difficult profession. And it's a difficult thing hauling 70, 80, 150 people all over this country, all of them crying and screaming and complaining about something. Thankless job as it is. So you got an airline. You go, all right, I'll haul you, all of you.
Oh, yeah, sure, Margaret.
What do you mean, oh, yeah, sure, Margaret?
Look, nobody told him to get into the airline business. Nobody said, hey, this is something you are designated to do that, and you have to put up with all of this bull crap. No one's saying that at all. These are adults, and these are customers.
What was that thing you were saying before the show?
Well, I mean, United Airlines is a classic example of this. You know, I will never fly United, not because of this. I haven't wanted to fly United for the last 20 years because I've seen their service go to straight to hell in a handcart.
But what was the thing you were telling me about?
Well, it was just, no, it was one, this was something in Miami years ago. And I was at a United gate. And the woman comes on, one of the people at the desk comes on and say, all right, ladies and gentlemen, start lining up, you know, according to first class, this and that.
Now, get in, she didn't say please, get in line, you know, make sure you're in the right line, or you will be denied access. Also, anyone that acts like this, you'll be denied access. She's coming off like she was the gym teacher and we were all lining up for a vaccination or something.
Yeah, so she was like she was lording it over you.
Well, let me tell you this. You know, if you spend that kind of money...
No, I'm not complaining, son. I'm just saying...
Yeah, basically, you're spending hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars to fly on their bloody airline. And they ought to be kissing your ass every step of the way, man. Now, you see these people, and it's like you're doing something that's like you're butting into their day. Their otherwise fantastic day. Oh, yeah, that's right. I got this job as a flight attendant or as a pilot, and I got to deal with these assholes. Well, if you don't like it, man, don't do it, okay? Talk to people with respect and treat people with respect. Nothing exemplifies United Airlines better than that episode with this man yesterday. They're too stupid.
Well, this is the whole thing, Phil. They overbook.
Right, this is what I was saying.
They overbook.
Now, wait a minute. A minute ago, you wanted them to understand everything.
Well, no, now I see Phil's side because I can tell that I'm probably turning the audience against me. They overbook.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to save it. I'll write it up in an editorial for A Little Bird Told Me.
Well, they do. They overbook, and they act like it's an act of God. Geez, we overbooked. How did that happen? There's too many people on the plane. Well, did you? No, it wasn't us. All of a sudden, just all these people just appeared. And look at this. They all bought tickets, too. All that money we made, gosh, it's just difficult for us. What are we supposed to do? Well, I guess we ought to kick some people off the plane now. What is the story with these people, man?
Now, Phil, come on. You're not in the airline. You don't know what they're up against.
I'm telling you right now, people have said this time and again. What's your major malfunction with counting the number of people you've sold on the flight and therefore you've run out of seats?
Phil, it is very simply explained.
What?
There are a great many people that don't show up or cancel. And so to offset that, yes, they will overbook.
Well, you know what? They better stop, and they better just suck up the loss.
Doc, what are you talking about, suck up the loss? It costs billions and billions of dollars to fly an aircraft.
Not that much, man.
It costs a lot.
Yeah, there's an awful lot that goes into the fuel and like that. Oh, give me a break with that.
You think I'm kidding?
No, I don't know that you're kidding, but I'm just telling you, I don't care. I don't give a damn if they fill the plane up and half of the people cancel out and they can't show up. Tough. Or if it's absolutely necessary to go ahead and book those seats where they think the people aren't going to show up or whatever the hell the problem is. Look, I think they need to confirm that these people are not going to be there.
They have to book, Phil, so that they don't lose the money.
Well, then they better come up with a way that is going to be accommodating, that's going to be respectful, that's going to, you know, dragging a guy off of an aircraft. God, they got a lawsuit right now.
Oh, here you go. See, these lawsuits, this is what we're talking about with tort reform.
Get out of here, tort reform.
What's tort reform? No, I don't know. What is tort reform? Tort reform is the tort... I don't know.
Tort reform. What is it, Phil?
Tort reform.
What's with the...
You guys, everybody's got an opinion. Tort reform is where you reform the way people are able to get all kinds of money with lawsuits. You know, it's tightening down on lawsuits. This guy, I hope, sues them for millions, tens of millions.
What about $100 million?
I don't give a damn. I don't care. I hope he hurts them. I hope he hurts them. I hope that he makes it so that they can't buy extra planes next year. Something. I don't know what it is. I'm getting sick and tired, particularly United Airlines, with their garbage pit service, their crap can on the ground service, their old planes. They suck. I'm telling you.
Look at you taking all of this personally.
Yeah, well, Mr. Henry flies first class, and he doesn't like the way some of them treat him.
Oh, well, get a load of you. Hey, man, I didn't say that. You fly first class, so you... No, that's not... No. First of all, if I fly first class, it's because I want a bigger seat, okay? That's number one. Number two, and if they're going to be offering on-the-ground service, then they might as well make it good. If they're going to offer first-class service along with a first-class seat, they might as well make it good. And United ain't getting it done. All right.
Yay.
Thank you. All right, folks, that's that, and that's all I'm going to say, and I don't care.
Yeah, so you're just going to drop it right there like a load of dung in the dirt. We got to step around or step in it. I don't think it's right, Phil.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Well, you're saying that you're flying first class, DDD to do-to-do. I forget.
Right. All right, so let's go out now to the, let's go out to the traffic. Here we got Bob Bacon and the guys and find out how things are looking out there on the highways and byways, Bob.
Phil, we're right down the Japan Freeway. We got Pan, that Sandman is out there, slow pan. That is a sad pan. Until 5 o'clock this afternoon, if you're in the side pan, call. Or you're going over to the side pan, or perhaps you're just in the damp pan. Make sure you're out there on the plan pan. Let's go out there and go to the frying pan or the fire down with the Sky Boy.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Bob. How's everything? And there's cellophane out there, too. You can probably wrap yourself in cellophane today, because it might be raining. I'm sorry, I'll be mad. We've got that down there on the freeway. I was like, there's a car crash, and a couple guys out towards going, drive around there, you can drive right through, because they're on fire. And there's a man on fire down there. I'm only kidding, no, you. And I got some right interview, so throw the boy, it's got to be sweeping.
My mommy, and my daddy, too. And my mom's down the ground.
And you can't have any.
Land sakes, come on into Mother Clara's. We have breakfast. It's waiting for you. Oh, those English muffins and the waffles and the pancakes and the scrambled eggs. We also have the poached eggs. If you like your eggs over easy, maybe you like your eggs to be hard-ass. Maybe you want your eggs to push you around. Come on into Mother Clara's.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner at Mother Clara's, but they always serve eggs.
Come on in for dinner. Have a 5-course dinner with eggs for breakfast, eggs for lunch, and then come on in and have a 5-course egg dinner.
Eggs for dinner at Mother Clara's on 5th and Main and Valley Way.
Mother Clara's, a great way to enjoy your din-din.
This is Sheriff Paul Richardson of Blowjob County. You know, we've got assaults, they're up. We've got crime, it's up. We've got assaults and physical atrocities, they're up. Murder, it's up. Burglary, it's up. Everybody's up. Lou Gehrig is up. Duke Snyder's up. And I'm up. I'm Sheriff Paul Richardson. I know I blew it the first 4 years that I was sheriff. All the crime went haywire. I'm sorry, I get it now. I wasn't sure what it is you wanted me to do. Please, vote for me, Paul Richardson, for another term as sheriff of Blowjob County. Blowjob County, a hellhole of crime and sin, but it can be made better by Sheriff Paul Richardson. Blowjob County, once upon a time our idyllic home, now a pit of horror and vice and crime. I can make it better because I get it now. You understand? I get it now. Paid for by Paul Richardson for sheriff.
From a city that's recession hit, stressed niggas can flex metal with pedal to
world famous Phil Henry Show here for the El Pacifico in Southern California.
And that's Earl Sweatshirt, right?
Yeah, it's Earl Sweatshirt. And now here's Mr. Henry.
All right, thank you very much. Earl Sweatshirt, huh?
Baby food.
Yeah, it's Earl Sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Phil, don't start going, don't go squeak voice on me, man. You know, I start getting, I'm afraid. You make me afraid. Whatever. All right. Not whatever.
When you go like that, Phil, it does frighten us.
Don't give me that side-eye jazz. All right. So sometimes it's hard to explain or to understand you, man. That's all I'm trying to say. You know what I'm saying? All right. Robert Greene from Fraser Foods is going to join us. Now, the Bill O'Reilly sexual harassment situation over there at Fox News. What do you think about that, General?
Well, I think the guy is... He's out of control. $13 million. You got to be putting me on. If any employee, and I ran a company where that kind of money was being paid out in harassment claims, holy Jesus.
Well, yes, exactly. That's exactly what the point is. Bill O'Reilly is costing them money. But let's also think of this. What kind of a work environment is it there for these young women, these young men? You know.
Maybe young men.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what O'Reilly's about. I don't have any idea what he's about.
So in other words, you think that Bill O'Reilly... Oh, my God. We don't have any evidence of anything other than him harassing females. But Bob Green is with us from Fraser Foods there in Lake Buena Vista, like Lake Buena Vista, Buena Park, California. I say Lake Buena Vista. Why'd I say that? Hey, Bob, how you doing?
What did you just say?
Yes, he was a lady who said Lake Buena Vista, but then he babbled something. How are you doing, Bob?
Hi, Margaret. I'm doing good. So I didn't understand what you said.
I said exactly what Margaret said. I was going too fast. Bob, Margaret greets you. I greet you.
Yeah, Bob, how you doing? This is General Shaw. Yeah, Bob, how you doing? It's Robert.
Yes, yeah, how you doing? It's Robert. I'm only kidding. It's Bud.
Yeah, that's... Wow.
All right, we're kidding around. Bob, how you been?
Well, I'm fine, but I am concerned with the sexual harassment payouts. I think Margaret made the point. If you run a company and some guy is costing you $13 million, you got to take a good, long, hard look at what the situation is there.
Well, what are you... So, in other words, you take Fox News' side or these women's side? What is it?
Well, no, I don't necessarily take anybody's side. The first thing I have to look at is, as O'Reilly said, is he being targeted? Are the women seeing him for a meal ticket? Are they targeting him for a payout? That is very, very important. And I have to tell you, I have, in my own way, been victimized by this sort of thing. See, what O'Reilly is trying to do...
So you have been targeted with claims of sexual harassment.
Yes, I've been targeted. I haven't paid one dime, not one red cent. I tell them, my lawyer will be in touch with you, or we could have a face-to-face meeting. I'll make it sound like it's going to be worth your while. Maybe we can talk turkey on this deal. That's when they say, no, I'm going to take you to court anyway. So I go, okay, here's my attorney. He's very powerful. And I'll make up a name that is extremely regal. It'll sound very intimidating. And these are very young women, by the way, Phil, so they aren't sure whether this is a real guy or a made-up, but they think he's a real guy, and I'll say, Perry Mason.
All right, now I know he's full of crap.
What are you talking about?
Hey, man.
What do you mean, Perry Mason?
These women are too young to know the guy doesn't exist. All they know is this is a really important name. They've heard it before.
Hey, Bob, I think you're full of crap. Hey,
well, that's fine. Okay, Phil, you think I'm full of crap, that's fine. I'll give you the name of the girl, and although you can't, you know, make it public, and you can go and talk to her.
How many women have you been able to fool with this?
Why do you call it fooling?
Because Perry Mason doesn't exist.
All right, you want to call it fooling. I call it good gamesmanship.
Do you have a lawyer?
Yes, I've got a lawyer.
Well, then why don't you just use the real name?
Because no one's ever heard of the guy. And not only that, he's got a real regular milk. His name is like Bill's... I forget what his name is. That's how insignificant he is to me. And he's my attorney, and I pay him a $30,000 a month retainer. And I don't even know his name.
Get right here. Is this the guy? Bill Smith.
That's it. His name's Bill Smith. Now, if I look across the table at someone...
Bill Smith.
That's right.
All right. Is this guy good?
Yeah, he's good, but if I look across the table at someone, I say, I'm going to have my lawyer, Bill Smith, and they look at you like you just dropped out of a cow's ass. They look at you like, where's the fly swatter? They don't know what they're looking at. They know it isn't a man. It resembles more a bug. And you know how that makes me feel?
Hey, Bob, you know, this is a sexual harassment claim.
Do you know how that makes me feel?
Knock it off, Green.
All right.
Perry Mason.
Perry Mason. Yes.
You know what? I'm going to challenge you. I want the name of that young lady that came in.
Well, you know, we've had several.
How many have you had?
Phil, you know, because I've been on your show, we probably had about a half a dozen.
And each time you say, you can contact my attorney, Perry Mason.
No, many times I'll say, look, let's just let bygones be bygones. You can keep your job, and I'll give them a perk. For instance, I'll say we've had a special on the Hostess Twinkies, and I'll give you a month's worth. Just to let you know there's no hard feelings.
And they go for that, huh?
Oh, my God.
You know, Bob, it's a completely unbelievable story.
All right. When I get off the air, I'm going to call Bud Dickman with the name, and Margaret, you can call her.
And she'll verify everything you've said.
Yes.
And you told her that your attorney was Perry Mason.
Yes, I told her my attorney was Perry Mason, but it didn't even get that far. it got to the point of when I said, let's let bygones be bygones, and I'll give you like a month's worth of the Hostess Twinkies because you know that we have them in the back. And she'll say, okay, Mr. Green, that's fine. I said, fine. I'm grateful for that because I've got a very expensive lawyer. I don't know if you know who he is, Perry Mason. And they'll look at you quizzically like, I've heard that name before, but because they're very young women, they've never seen it on TV.
How old are these women anyway?
You know, anywhere from their 20s and 30s. And by the way, I do not sexually harass any of them. I'm not guilty of sexually harassing any of them. But I don't need the messy mess, the dirty, I don't need the dirt and the stink and the mess of, it's like a stinking.
You don't need the hassle.
I don't need the hassle and the stink and the smell. So I go ahead and settle it.
For Hostess Twinkies?
No, not for Hostess Twinkies. One time I...
Well, Bob, you're giving us this information that makes the whole thing sound pretty ludicrous. And then you're telling me that, well, when I lay the name Perry Mason on them...
Have I been sued?
I don't know. Have you?
No, I haven't. It would have been in the news.
Well, then maybe you haven't been charged with sexual harassment by any young woman either.
All right, if you want to believe that, Margaret, that's fine, too.
All right, Robert, as it pertains to Bill O'Reilly, what has all of this got to do with Bill O'Reilly?
Well, what it has to do with Bill O'Reilly is, once again, he's got these women coming to him. He didn't, obviously, he didn't have anybody negotiating properly for him. He winds up spending $13 million.
Now, Bob, you know that Bill O'Reilly can hire any attorney he wants. He can hire the very best.
And so can I.
All right, fine, so can you. This guy is not going to sit there and say, my attorney, Perry Mason.
Why not?
Because, first of all, the young women that are suing him, they're all newscasters. I would think that they're a little bit more informed. What are we talking about? You know, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life.
All right, you don't believe me? I'm going to give the name to Margaret. You can talk to her and find out from this young lady.
I'm going to call her here from the show.
I don't care.
You don't?
No, I do not.
You don't mind if we put her on the air today?
No, I don't.
All right, well, I'd like to hear from her. Do you mind if we use her name?
That's up to her.
I just wondered if you had any agreement with her.
Now, the agreement that I had with her was a month's worth of these Twinkies, and that I would not call my attorney Perry Mason. Oh, my God, he's laughing.
Yes, he is laughing.
So now we know who takes these things seriously and who doesn't. I take them seriously, and guess who doesn't? You, Mr. Henry. I'm Bob Green.
Yay! Yay!
What are you doing that for?
All right, anything else?
Yeah, Bob, you came on to talk about O'Reilly.
Oh, that's right, O'Reilly. Well, first of all, let's talk about Bill O'Reilly. I don't know whether Perry Mason's his attorney.
You asked him to come on and talk, and then you hang up on him?
Yes, I'm hanging up on him because I just want to hang up on him. Are you going to call her?
Well, what's the number?
Did you not,
I don't know.
That's what you get for hanging up with the guy. Call him back.
All right.
World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We're going to be back here. Art Griego on Dragging That Passenger Off of the Plane. Be right back.
Yeah, Mr. Green? Mr. Green? Yeah, Bud Dickman.
Mastersons and Brown, every time you trip over a dog or bitten by a dog or a cat, every time a cat crawls on top of you and pees on your new suit, every time a dog barks at you and frightens you, all of our law is geared toward protecting you against all of these rude, insufferable animals, the rude, stinking pets that people have. Yes, rude pets cost us money, and it costs us wear and tear on our nerves. A rude pet can be worth thousands in legal bills. Anytime a dog looks at you and then laughs and pees on a tree stump, and you know that that's probably your head in his mind, you sue. Anytime a cat looks at you and then tries to clean its claws in your jacket, you know that thing that they do? It's going to cost you money. Anytime a poodle looks at you and decides you're not worth the sweat off its balls, you sue. That's right, Mastersons and Brown. We sue any and all pets on your behalf when they make you feel bad. Mastersons and Brown, number one at suing dogs and cats since 1918. Hi, I'm Barbara Stanwyck, and every time I'm in L.A., even when I'm not in L.A., when I'm somewhere far away, I listen to the Phil Henry Show podcast right here on Podcast One, SoundCloud, worldwide on philhenryshow.com. I'm Barbara Stanwyck, celebrity voice impersonated. Hi, this is Kelly Clarkson. I love Phil Henry. It's the greatest thing I've ever heard. He's the funniest man. He's a pure, consummate entertainer. I like the fact that he does all of those really cool voices. In fact, he's doing my voice right now. Ha! Didn't know, did you? I'm Kelly Clarkson, celebrity voice impersonated. Hi, Vladimir Putin here. I think Phil Henry's the greatest thing that ever walked. Celebrity voice impersonated. Hi, this is Donald Trump. Phil Henry is all I need to get through my day. I'll quit. I'll resign. I will leave Washington, D.C. on his word and his word alone. Celebrity voice impersonated. And I'm Vladimir Putin. And
all right, enough, for God's sake.
PhilHenryShow.com.
Welcome back, PhilHenryShow.com. Art Griego with us in Santa Monica.
And you're Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, if you want me to be.
But that scares me. Why are you doing that?
He's kidding around.
Yeah, man. Does he look like Barbara Streisand?
Who's she?
Barbara Stanwyck is who I... What did I just say?
I think you said Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, well, I'm Jay-Z. What about that?
Yay!
Yeah. How do you like me now? You're great. Let's check out, man, Art Griego there at Santa Monica Airport. Art is in the middle of his usual daily maintenance, and Art's joining us for a discussion of the United Airlines incident. Art, where are you, man? It sounds like you're on board an aircraft.
Right now, Phil, where I am is actually standing right alongside one of the 767s that they've parked here. This is kind of rare to see a 767 here at Santa Monica Airport, but they need a little bit of space. Not so much for maintenance.
You're not working on it, are you?
No. Just... Not so much for maintenance as they wanted to check some pilots out on it, and I got a chance to go up in the cockpit and take a look around. So it's kind of an interesting aircraft. I never flew anything that big.
You retired as a pilot when?
Oh, it's been about 20 years now.
And I take it you've heard the news about the the passenger?
Yeah, on Delta.
No, it was on United. It was on United.
I'm sorry, it was on United Airlines. I apologize.
Okay, so do you have an opinion on that?
Well, first of all, I'm sorry, I can't hear much, so I know it's United Airlines. It was not Delta. First thing I would say, Phil, is I don't think people understand that when we say to people, or when we used to say to people, we need to get some, employees on the plane because they need to get to a certain destination. I don't think they understand how important that is. Getting these employees to another destination.
So you endorse dragging this guy off the plane?
Wait, hold on for a minute. I haven't said that yet. Getting these employees from one destination to the next is a big, big part of the incentive of hiring them. They won't come to work for us unless they can be assured of flying for free.
Okay.
All right, so, otherwise, if we don't come through with that promise of ensuring that they fly for free, then we run the risk of them quitting, and the word goes out that the airline doesn't keep its promises, and the next thing you know, we can't get anybody to work for us, and the next thing you know, we got no passengers because we got no airline. So it's very important to keep our promises to our employees. It is number one. And, the airline industry went through a terrible, terrible period there where there was a lot of consolidation. The unions were giving them a hard time. We saw a lot of airlines go out of business. So to be able to look at an employee and say, yes, when we said you can fly for free from this destination to another, we mean it. That's our guarantee to you. What they should have done is gone to the employees and said, will you please take another flight? The employees are naturally going to say, no, we won't. Because this is, as I said, a major, major part of them working for the airline. So then you say to them, all right, then we're going to have to clear space for you, and we'd like you to come with us. You have them walk behind you as you drag the guy out of the plane. Then you look at them and you say, you did that. And then you go, excuse me, then you go back. What do you want them?
You did that.
Yes. Now, that's what they should have done. That is by the book. It's been used by I don't know how many different airlines.
All right, here's my question for you.
So what I just said there didn't help you, huh?
No, because I think the way that these things are dealt with are, it's as the kids around here like to say, up the butt. And I don't buy that you go and find these people and say, follow me, and you did that. I don't think you do that at all.
I heard you talking to Bob Green and saying you didn't believe him either. Oh, man.
Well, all right. So why not simply say the following thing? You people cannot fly on this aircraft.
That's what they said.
No, the employees cannot fly in the aircraft. We've overbooked and we can't kick any of our passengers off.
As I said, Margaret.
Yes, I know. You said that they'll never get anyone to work for them again. Seriously.
That's exactly what I said. They'll never get anyone to work for them again if they go back on their promise that they pass, that
the employee?
Yes, the oh my God.
Yeah. Phil just went, the employee?
Well, I'm with Margaret on this. This is a tale so tall.
Phil, you can only call one guy a day a liar. And you already did that with Green.
Well, come on, man. You say to these employees, I want you to give up your seat for these passengers, will you? And they say no.
That's correct.
None of them say yes?
No, never.
Why would they say yes?
The same reason. Well, yeah, sure. And why would a passenger give up their seat?
Aha. Uh-huh. So you're saying that there's a likelihood...
No. It's not aha. Uh-huh. Phil asked you a question.
Well, what? I'm trying to answer the question. You're saying there's a likelihood that the passenger may give up their seat, because that's what you indicated.
I want to know about this whole thing with follow me.
Follow me has been in effect for years. You tell the employee, all right, you won't give up your seat, follow me. You go to that passenger, you drag him bodily off the plane, you turn to the employee and you say, you did that, that's on you, and you go back to your seat now, sit your fat ass in your seat, and you go back to work.
And if the employee complains about the way they were treated?
They never do, because you can go to the airline and say they complain about the way they're being treated. I took a passenger, dragged him off feet first, and threw him off of the jetway down onto the tarmac.
Yeah, so you throw them, huh?
No, you don't, but you tell the airline you did. Now, that's by the book. That's the way it's been done for, God, 50 years.
I doubt that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Mr. Ernie, you're calling everybody a liar.
Yeah, it's the first time. You know, Phil, I know that you abuse a lot of your guests.
Hey, Art, now, don't give me a hard time. You know, and I know, that you're not going to be taking a passenger and throwing them off the jetway.
That's what I tell the airline.
But you don't really do it. Look, what are we doing here, okay? We're trying to figure out every little thing that this nut does. First of all, he's saying...
I'm a nut, huh?
Yes, you're a nut. First of all, he's telling us, they go to the passengers, and they say, will you get off the plane? They say no. Then you go to the employees that are flying, you say, will you please get off the plane? Because these passengers won't get off, and they say no. Then you say, follow me to the employees, right?
That's correct.
And they follow you down to where these passengers are. You take the passengers, drag them off feet first, throw them off the jetway out of the tarmac, turn and look at the employees and say, you did that, that's on you, have a nice flight.
That's exactly correct.
And then what do the employees do?
They sit back in their seat, pull out their magazine, and go back to reading whatever garbage they were reading, whatever porn they were reading, you know, because that's what we basically will do from that day forward, just humiliate them. They went back to their seat, and they got out of, you know, just a fold-out, just looked at it. God knows what they were doing, stuck their hands in their pockets.
What is that about?
What are you talking about now?
I'm saying that once they refuse to give up their seat and you have to throw a passenger off feet first, and you say to them, you did that, that's on you, now you can talk about them and treat them as if they're scum, even though they are still employed.
Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Jamie, what are you doing?
That's the Phil Henry and philhenryshow.com. Coming up next is Sean Spicer, As You Like to Hear Him. You weren't buying it, huh? Phil Henry and philhenryshow.com. All right, okay. A
fatal attraction. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. We'll be right back. Love is not just a
verb, and I can see power steering. Hi, this is Jim Warren, Jim Warren's Diaper Service. If you need to have your diapers, the baby's diapers, cleansed, you know, wiped out and laundered and made to look sparkling clean, we could do it for you. Jim's Diaper Service has been around since the 1960s. We deal with all kinds of diapers. All kinds of babies, too. Big babies, little babies, medium-sized babies. The diapers come out fresh, smelling clean. The baby's going to look good. Maybe for the first time in its young life. Jim's Diaper Service. We're located on the expressway. Just take the Exeter turnoff, hang a right, then go behind that big building down the alley, and you'll find us. Jim's Diaper Service. We take care of the kids' diapers. Anything else? No? Okay, thanks. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Yes, the General Galen Sean, we're about ready to bring on now. It's very interesting. Sean Spicer, he is the press secretary for you-know-who, President Donald Trump. And we're going to be talking with him about this attitude of his that, you know, the whole, what did he say?
Well, he was talking about the chemical bombing of Syria, and even Hitler didn't do that.
That's it indeed. We'll bring on Mr. Spicer now from Washington, D.C., And, Sean, it's very good of you to be on the air with us. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
Just turn him up a little bit, bud.
I'm good. Do you hear me?
Yes, we hear you now. Sean, this morning during the press conference, you said that not even Hitler pulled this kind of a stunt. What did you mean by that?
Well, I wasn't thinking. Here's what I meant. What I meant was I don't really pay that much attention to history. So even though I claim I'm not anti-Semitic, even though I claim I'm not a racist, I don't really know enough about the experiences of those people to speak intelligently or correctly about it.
Well, did you immediately know that you'd made a mistake?
No, I did not. Not until the reporter pointed out to me that I, you know, had made a rather strong comparison.
Did you know what the mistake was that you'd made?
No, I didn't really. I didn't know it until I got back to the White House, because at first I said to one of the other press people, I don't know who they are, and I still don't know who they are, but I said to them, what did I do wrong? And they said, well, you said that even Hitler didn't attack his own people with chemicals, and you know that Hitler had gas chambers. And I said, well, that's not really a weapon, is it? And they said it killed people. I said, okay, that's a good point. I said, do Jews qualify as his people?
You didn't say that.
I had to ask the question because, according to Hitler, they weren't citizens. And they said, yeah, they're Germans. And I said, well, I don't get it, but...
You still don't get that, huh?
I mean, yeah, I do, but didn't Hitler say that they were not German citizens?
Whatever. He first of all, Hitler is not the guy to call the shots there. He was illegally the leader of that country.
Oh, he's not the guy to call the shots. He's the guy that's, you know, basically killing these people.
The fact is the German Constitution, which was in existence, said yes, they were.
But Hitler didn't, and he was the leader.
Yes, and he illegally circumvented the Constitution. Nonetheless, Sean, we're getting, you know, off the beaten path here.
I don't even understand what you just said.
Hey Spicer, just listen. Okay.
I don't like being called Spicer.
You going to do something about it?
No.
Listen to me. So you got back to the White House, you said what you said, and then what?
Well, I got back to the White House, and what do you mean I said what I said?
I mean, you talked to this other person.
Yeah, I talked to the other person, and then I released a statement in which I said that, I don't really remember it because nothing I say is very memorable, but I said that, you know, I'm clearly aware of the extermination of Jewish people. It was a mistake to do that, and again, that's why I should have just stayed on topic, stayed focused on the actions that Assad had taken and the horrible atrocities that he had committed against his people. I don't think I apologize, though. And according to this news report here, it says President Trump and his aides rarely apologize for controversial remarks or stating factual errors and often take a confrontational approach when challenged. Spicer's decision to appear on CNN late in the day was a sign of how badly his remarks were being received both inside and outside the White House.
All right, so were you encouraged by President Trump?
Oh, no, not at all. I took the initiative.
Well, if you took the initiative, did you check it out with Trump?
Yeah, I did. And
did they get back to you?
No, they didn't. So I just kind of made it a
independent. He didn't say anything to you.
No, he didn't say anything. And, you know, basically what that means is you're on your own, and I know that. So I went ahead and I made the judgment, I better go and I better apologize.
Now, let me ask you something, Sean. Do you know now what it is that you apologized for?
I am. I'm aware, but I want to make a point here, Phil, if I could.
Go ahead.
I didn't say I'm sorry. I'm looking back at my own statement, and I didn't say that I was sorry. I said that I'm clearly aware of that, and that it was reprehensible. So no, I did not say I'm sorry.
No, all right. So are you proud of that?
Well, yeah. I mean, because we don't say we're sorry at the Trump White House.
Well, then what's the point of you going on CNN?
Well, I came as close as I could to an apology.
Are you told not to apologize for things? Is that just the standard operating procedure there?
Pretty much, yeah. The president doesn't. And
is there anything the president would apologize for?
Well, now you got to ask him that, Phil. I don't know.
Is there anything you'd apologize for?
Not while I'm working for Trump, no.
All right, well, at least you're being honest.
I have to be. This is as you...
Yeah, as you like to hear them. All right, so let's move on to going to CNN.
Yeah, I went on CNN because I felt like I needed to say something that was going to take the sting out of this thing. And I'm very happy that CNN had me on because, by all rights, they didn't have to. I've talked about them like they're garbage. And... you know, they are, and I have to say that, even though I shouldn't.
So you think CNN is garbage? You think that CNN, do you think they're fake news?
I don't think anybody's really fake news. That's just a term that we use in the White House to throw people off, okay?
All right, so it's another bullshit term.
Yeah, basically. So, but I went on CNN, and...
I guess you've told them now. If they're listening to this, they know that fake news term is fake, and that you don't mean it.
Yeah, that's probably what they'll think. But I went on CNN nonetheless because I wanted to make sure that I didn't cause any more problems because the president's got enough problems with this Syria thing and the fact that the FBI is still investigating him for the possibility that the campaign colluded with the Russians.
Do you know anything about that?
About what?
About the campaign colluding with the Russians?
I do not, no. If I did, and I'm here on As You Like to Hear Them, I would tell you, believe me, but I don't know. I can tell you that there's some people in the campaign that acted really squirrely. I can tell you that even I have my suspicions. I can tell you all those things.
Well, who do you suspect?
Well, I mean, the usual suspects there. You know, that Carter Page guy, Flynn. But I don't know what they're doing. They don't tell me. You know, I mean, I'm a press secretary. I mean, I'm the guy that they tell to get lost when they start a meeting. I'm the guy that they say, hey, go downstairs and get us some cigars from the concessionaire. I'm the guy that they say, hey, on your way out, Sean, would you get the lights? I'm the guy that they say, Sean, will you take a lunch order? So they're not going to tell me. They're not going to bare their souls to me about anything they did with Russians.
All right, so they treat you basically like you're a underling, like you're a...
Well, like you're a servant.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And when you look at me, I look like a servant. And the reason for that is I let them treat me that way. I look like a guy who the first thing that happens to me in the morning when I get to the White House is I've just had Trump screaming at me for something, and that's true. And then by the end of the day, I look like Trump has been screaming at me all day.
And has he?
Yes.
All right, we're talking to Sean Spicer here on As You Like to Hear Them about his job as the press secretary, notably about the comment that Hitler didn't even treat his people as badly as Assad. So do you understand that comment now?
I say that I do, but I don't really. If you could...
Basically, it's this. Hitler used Cyclone B gas to kill his own people in gas chambers, in shower rooms, and in vans. Assad dropped canisters of gas and killed his people on the ground. Now, you know, they both did the same thing. Let's put it that way. Hitler, in his case, rounded up his citizens and forced them into these places to kill them, whereas Assad just went to where they were.
So, what are you saying? Assad was nicer because he made it more convenient? I don't understand.
Don't be a smartass, Sean.
I'm not. I don't understand.
I'm saying they're both scum equally. When you said he wasn't as bad.
I got it. Okay. I understand, and I just didn't get the ins and the outs of it, you know.
Yeah, the specifics of it, huh? You don't get the logic, do you, Sean?
Not really, no. Because in a lot of ways, I'm like Trump. I haven't spent a lot of time reading, and so therefore, I don't really understand the context of history. I don't know everything the way, you know, Trump thinks he does, so I got that. That's a handicap. I'm not rich the way he is, but I do try to emulate him in other ways.
And that one way is what?
Well, in other ways, plural.
All right, so you pretend like you know everything, and what else?
I, you know, verbally abuse reporters. I'm always on the attack. I never back down, you know, like that.
And that's the Donald Trump way.
That's the Donald Trump way. That's also basically the Scientology way.
Well, yeah. By the way, do you know that if Trump reads Scientology?
He doesn't read.
Well, do you know that does he adhere to any of that? Has he ever mentioned L. Ron Hubbard?
No, he never has, but that doesn't mean that he hasn't... admired the man's techniques from afar because they're similar. Scientology, you know, continues to harass you until you think you're wrong, and same thing with President Trump.
Sean Spicer, ladies and gentlemen, with today's As You Like to Hear Them, we talk about his job as the press secretary. Any other questions?
Well, you know, it's a rare opportunity, Sean, to talk to you.
I mean, you can ask me anything you want.
All right, let me ask you this. The press briefings, when they say that you have absolutely no credibility, does that hurt your feelings?
Well, yeah, but I can't do anything about it because I don't have any credibility. I'm
You're just dishonest, huh?
Yeah, I am. I'm pretty much dishonest. And so anything that I say, they really shouldn't believe. But I suppose I'm the only guy that's saying it.
Well, since you're the press secretary, they're going to print it.
Yeah, they're going to print it, but... I got to laugh sometimes when I walk out of a press briefing. I'll say to myself, half the stuff I just said is horseshit, and they're going to go and they're going to print it, and then they'll know it's horseshit. They'll tell their readers it's horseshit. Then a bunch of people will start writing me emails and angry letters. Then I'll come back out and I'll get angry at them for making me look like a liar, even though I am a liar. So it's kind of that cycle.
And all of that is born of the fact that you never admit you're wrong.
Yeah, pretty much.
Would you say then that you and the White House... and the president, you guys are the cause of your own problems?
Oh, there's no question. There's no question. But as long as we have the alt-right press, as long as we got these that one Jabba the Hutt, what's the guy?
Who's that?
The guy with the radio show.
Alex Jones?
Yeah. As long as we got him and that other fairy that, I don't know, then everything is...
What do you mean, the other fairy?
There's some guy, some English guy. But what I'm trying to say to you is this. As long as we know we have all of those people backing us up, and with the fake news tag, I mean, we got it made. So...
All right, you got it made. There he is, folks, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It is Sean Spicer here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, as you like to hear him. Sean, good luck in your daily meetings with the president and the press.
Thanks a lot, Phil. I appreciate it very much.
Do you really?
No, I don't. In fact, I hated doing this.
See you later.
I won't see you later.
Well, that's honest. Yeah, that's very honest. Sean Spicer, folks.
That guy's pretty much confirmed what we've always been thinking.
Well, yeah, he pretty much confirmed what we've always been thinking, because he has to.
That's right. It's as you like to hear them.
All right, folks. That is wrapping up here for this Wednesday. Now, don't forget, by Friday, I'd like for you guys to send us your three favorite bits of the year 2016. We're going to put those together and come up with our top 10 of 2016. You'll see those on the archive page of our brand spanking new website. We got our bar fight promotion coming up.
Bar fights. I've got to see.
Got a whole lot of really fun stuff heading into the summer here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved, on Podcast One.
That a do, General.
What are you talking about?
Why Podcast One?
Fuck off, will you?
God.